Okay, it's that time of the week again. Well, actually, it's not, because we failed miserably, Kieran, to stick to any kind of schedule. Yet again.
Yes.
It has been 3 weeks since our last confession, I mean podcast.
It has.
And we're do you say...
I'm not repentive.
No. Eschewing or eschewing? I don't know how you say it.
Eschewing, yes.
Eschewing all good practice when it comes to regularity. Mm. However, we are back, and this is episode 7 of the Back to Front show. And as per the last 6 episodes, I am joined from Wells with Mr. Kieran Marston. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm not too bad. How's things with you?
Yeah, pretty good, actually. Sunny. Yeah.
Is it?
Pleasant. Cup
really?
Of tea.
You've got a cup of tea. Cake report? Any digestives? Any cake?
Digestive, yeah. One chocolate digestive has been consumed.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
And it's not even 3 p.m. here in the UK.
It's not. I know. 9 minutes to go.
9 minutes to go. We have a fun-packed show. Fun and full-packed show. Basically, because we've had a hiatus, we have some content. We've not had to scurry around too much. Actually, that's a lie. 10 minutes ago, we was like, what are we going to do? But, yeah, a lot's happened in the last 3 weeks.
It has.
Yes, yeah, so I went to the Milton Keynes Geek Night. Fantastic it was.
I think I heard audio of your presentation. Very good.
Was it really? No, there's lots of ums and ahs. And,
yeah, but that's part of the course.
Yeah, they're intentional.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
The professionals out there will tell you to iron those out, but I've actually managed to keep them in my delivery.
You're allowing the audience to digest what you're...
yes, my bon mots.
What you're imparting.
Yeah, it's actually... it's really good talk, actually, if I do say so, mainly because I had to sort of step out of my own comfort zone and actually try and do something technical, geeky, because it was a geek night. So yeah, I did my sort of top tips of speeding up your website based on like 5 or 6 great articles that I'd read. I can't claim any of it as my own, but you bring them together into one.
It was well condensed, I thought. It was really good. Boiled down to the basics. It was good.
Boiled. Okay. I just wanted to check there. But anyway, you're off to the Big Apple next week, aren't you?
I am, yeah. Thursday.
Thursday. What are you doing out there?
Tribeca Film Festival.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that one that Robert De Niro started, or was he a big part of it?
He's involved, yeah.
Tribeca, of course, the triangle beneath canal.
Mm-hmm.
One of the many... is it an acronym? I don't even know if it's an acronym.
I don't know, actually.
That they have there in New York. What are the other ones? Soho, south of Houston.
Dumbo.
No, actually, 5 points if you know what Dumbo stands
down
for.
Down under the something bridge? Or I don't know.
Oh, I always get it wrong. Down under... Manhattan Bridge overpass or something like that.
Is that it? Right, yeah.
Big Bridge.
Yeah.
We did a Shopify workshop in Dumbo last year.
Was it good?
Yes. Actually, it would have been a great startup spot. We could have replaced Cafe Nero and Wells with this place. Lots of exposed brick, big beams.
I think it's a bit more glamorous, I expect, than Cafe Nero and Wells.
I'm not sure. How is the startup table treating
you? It's good, yeah. It's really good. I tend to not hog it. I do feel a bit of an idiot sitting there on my own.
Well, I think it's the fact that you bring in the sort of four-way adapter and have to trail it right across. And then you've got... Because you're health and safety minded, have one of those kind of rubber things that,
ramp.
A little ramp, yeah, that the cable goes under just to keep it nice and secure so that, you know, the mothers and fathers with the buggies and that don't trip.
I don't really feel like Wells is a startup hub.
I think it should be. What can we do to make it happen?
The startup hub of Somerset.
We've got the startup legitimizer. We could do a website.
Yeah, easily.
And get some funding. How much would we need? A few million?
Easily.
For what, 5%?
Well, we're talking round A here, I take it, or seed.
Seed, yeah.
So go and seed in the sort of hundreds of thousands, then push for sort of 4, maybe 7 around C, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we could get on the phone to Kevin, you know, Fred, those kind of people.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, do an espresso with them. Actually, go and see Fred, he's in New York.
Yeah, he is actually, isn't he?
Pitch it to him. Work on the flight over, the elevator pitch for the Wells Startup Hub.
Mate, I've got enough to work on the flight over. I've already got a huge list of stuff, yeah.
Why don't you do it before and then do this on the plane? Anyway. So the Geek Night was good. Good. You're off to New York.
Mm-hmm. You were in Seattle.
I was. Really, really nice town, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went up the Space Needle.
I hear you weren't impressed by the coffee. Well, not at the Space Needle.
No, I didn't have a coffee at the Space Needle. Well, as I said to you the other day, completely spoilt by my local coffee shop.
Maxwell,
Mr. Colonna and Smalls.
Mm.
Everywhere else doesn't cut the mustard, really.
Well, as I said to you, sort of, your spitting distance from the UK barista champion.
I don't spit though.
No, obviously. I thought it was probably a bad use of words there.
Cupping distance, maybe.
Yeah, cupping distance.
They've got a good range of cakes going on in Clone and Smalls, actually.
Have they?
Yeah.
I feel like he's slightly reluctant to have cakes.
Yeah, I think it does. You know, if he had his way, he wouldn't
it
have
would
cakes.
It would just be coffee.
Yeah, just coffee.
There certainly wouldn't be a latte on the menu.
Along with the sugar under the counter, I think there's one or two tea bags, mainly Assam.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're really jibber-jabbering today, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah, Seattle was very good. I thoroughly recommend visiting Seattle.
Good.
And, yes, anyways. Anyway, so what have we got this week? Oh, actually, I've got a couple of interesting blog posts to talk about, as have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to talk about... What are we going to talk about? Ah, yeah, so collaboration online, but around words, not code necessarily.
Yeah,
there's been a couple of interesting new apps. I guess you call them apps, tools. Editorially been one, and drafting been another, which I've found out about this week. And, yeah, we've got some thoughts on that and the problems with it. And you've got a... Oh, this looks good. The And Finally. I'm not sure it's going to top. What was the last one? Was it Pack Love?
It was Pack Love, yeah. I think we pretty much, you know, peaked at Pack Love.
It has raised the bar.
It has, yeah.
Ridiculously high. I've actually noticed a lot of people... do you remember in the days of Dribbble when it started? It was like, yeah, send me your portfolio link and I'll see if I can draft you. And now it's
send
like...
Send me a picture of your dog and I'll see if I
can. It's like, send me a picture of your dog and I'll see if, you know, I've got an invite spare. I think this is taking it to the nth degree. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, this one looks good. Is it cat related?
Is it what?
Cat related.
Not exclusively.
No?
But cats certainly are a search that you could use.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people... What is it with Orange Dream cats? Where did that all start? You probably know.
I don't know. No, I have no idea.
You know all those kind of short, you know...
Memes.
Yeah, you know all that.
No.
Did that down with the youth.
More so than you.
More so than me, yes. I'm the wrong side of youth, fast approaching. But anyway, so yeah, so the couple of links that I wanted to sort of slot into the news section this week. The first one was by, actually, I don't know his name. It's not Destroyed Today. What's the guy's name? The guy who built Tudor, which we featured the other week.
Oh,
where is
Destroy
he?
Today.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. He does have a name. Johnny Hallman.
That's it.
Johnny Hallman. And it's a blog post that he did probably a week or so ago called Lessons Learned in a Year on My Own. He used to work, I think it was at Adobe.
Yes, and I think he was working remotely.
Right? He was working remotely for Adobe. And I think he got a desk in StudioMates in Dumbo.
Yep.
And eventually ended up working for himself. And one of the first jobs that he got was Tudor.
The very first job, apparently.
Yeah, the very first job that he got there from Tina sort of said, well, why don't you help us with this? And he's just documented pretty much, you know, how that year went. And there's some really interesting insights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, save as much money as you can, double it, and then double it again type stuff. Or, you know, have a good lawyer, have a good accountant.
Yeah.
Talks about some of the tools like Xero, which I'm a big fan of. As well. He talks about the benefits of co-working space. And I think this is really interesting because he's very much of the opinion that most of the work that he has got has been come as a result of being in an environment where there's sort of 30 or 40 like-minded people. And so he gets roped into different things. And
which is interesting because a lot of the guys that I speak to who work in co-working spaces don't say that.
Yeah.
They say that they tend not to work with their studio mates, but that, you know, I think it probably just depends on the culture in the specific place.
Yeah, and we were talking to Cole, Mr. Henley,
mm-hmm.
Of the 007 fame, and he was sort of saying similar things to that, wasn't he? That, yeah, he's had a couple of collaborations, but nothing heavy.
I don't think regular, no.
No. Maybe it's just, you know, the proliferation of people in the space or working mm-hmm. very, very similar projects. But that was quite interesting. He also talks about even if you're in a co-working space and you've got your headphones on and your head down, people assume your book solid. And so he literally has an old sort of analog, I'm available for work sign on his desk, you know, come
it's
and
clever,
talk to
yeah.
me. Yeah. There's a whole section on that, you know, make your availability known.
I thought the know your limits stuff was quite appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was sort of, sort of talking about burnout. And burnout's got a lot of... talk recently, hasn't it? People have been discussing
yeah.
that online.
Laura Kalbag tweeted something about that I really, you know, resonated with me.
I think it's knowing how to turn off from the always on side of what we do, I think, is difficult.
Yeah, and I think if you are feeling that sort of like drudgery, like you're working a lot but not getting much done, I know it's easy to say. I know it's actually hard. It's easier to say than do, but it's sort of that stepping away. I stepped away for about 4 days from my work and came back, and I felt massively energized.
Yeah, 4 days.
4 days.
4 days. That's what were you doing? You were fitting out your bathroom.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. In fact, there is actually a washhand based on my sink, on my desk right now.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but you should read that "Know Your Limits" bit, Kieran. I don't. No, but it's good to know that you've been doing some manly physical work there.
Manly activity. Yeah. Under a bath.
Blisters on your hands and stuff.
I do. Yeah. Still.
Do you have one of those tool belts? You know, that kind of tan faux leather.
No, I don't even have toolbox, mate. They're just all over the floor of the bathroom.
Yeah, it's not good. Your dad would not be happy.
He wouldn't, though.
No, don't tell him. But yeah, anyways, it's a really good article, and I thoroughly recommend reading it. It's not too long either. Mm. And yeah, I think there's a lot to relate to, and yeah, a lot we can learn from that. And
there's been a few really good reflective posts recently. I think actually Cole, who we just spoke about, wrote a year on from freelance type post.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's quite a few people reflecting on, you know, the year gone by or whatever, which is good.
Yeah, and I ended up sort of clicking around and Destroy Today's site. And there's some interesting articles. He's,
he's a good writer.
Yeah, he's a good writer. And I particularly like the tech behind his wedding. I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah, that sort of dark featured heavily there as well.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. Oh, and using Alfred to set up your dev environment. That's a good one as well that we can all learn from. Do you use Alfred, actually?
No, I don't actually, no.
Ah, you should. It's very good.
I can see that. But I know you're a big advocate.
Well, yeah, I use it, yes. I used to use mainly just for the launching app stuff, but they've got this whole new workflow. Kind of, do you remember Yahoo Pipes where you could kind of drag different things and different outputs? It's kind of like that, but for workflow. Very clever, very clever.
Nice.
Anyway, the other one I had was a bit more throwaway, but Gmail is 9 years old. Can you believe it?
God, no, it's incredible, actually.
That's just like in internet years, what's that? That's sort of grandfather status.
Jesus, it's really, yeah, it's really gained there, isn't it?
And do you think, looking back, my email runs off Gmail, although I used to be a big fan of the web client, loved it. Then when you end up with two or three different accounts for various reasons, it became a bit unmanageable, I found. So I still use Gmail, but I use Postbox, having moved on from Sparrow. But do you think it's fulfilled the vision of like revolutionizing the way we use email? How many of the features do you actually use that you would say, that I use that, and that's a Gmail specific way of dealing with email.
The big one is never delete email ever again.
Yeah,
I think that's the one that I've actually used. You know, I back in the day, I'd never have kept this quantity of email. You know, I can't begin to imagine how many thousands of emails I've got and I've kept. You know, and I actually do find that useful. I have gone back to, you know, emails from 2005 and stuff like that. That I've needed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I literally never delete anything, and I don't think I'm in any danger of, getting anywhere close to my limits in terms of storage.
In fact, that huge storage capacity thing has actually come up a practical use for it. When Katie and I got married, we had to present all our correspondence to the American embassy.
Oh yes, because they thought you were trying to.
Obviously, thought we were trying to
hot foot it as an illegal into the United States of America.
United States, we obviously everything was on Gmail, so we had all that stuff all the way back.
So your romance is down to Google.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure what those adverts made about me.
Yeah, there's a Kickstarter project. But do you use any of the other features like priority inbox and those kind of things? They seem like a good idea, but then I've never really.
No, I've never really got into that. I mean, obviously, I think it is turned on, and I do see the flag come up in Sparrow when it's a priority. But and it's pretty good at saying what's what. But I don't use the priority only view.
No. I wonder, considering that Google. They bought Sparrow, right? And obviously they've mothballed it. But do you think they're going to come out with their own native app for Windows and Mac? Or
I would imagine so. I mean, what would the talent acquisition be about if not? You know, I mean, I I was saying to you only this week about what, you know, what mail client do you use, because I'm slowly getting frustrated with Sparrow. But I've installed Postbox and stuff like that, and it's good, but I've gone back to Sparrow just for familiarity's sake.
Yeah, you have to get through that kind of that pain barrier. There's nothing revolutionary about Sparrow that would make you want to switch. I fancied a change, and I think some of the search in there is really good. I was getting very frustrated by the search. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, when you just archive stuff. I mean, I have a couple of labels, like anything that comes in for travel or whatever, I'll just, you know, dump that in the label travel. Sure. Just because it's easier when you're out and about, but everything else is just generally in a big bucket of email. So I'd often find myself logging on to the client, the web client, to do a search with Sparrow, because it wasn't particularly great. But the search is a lot better in Postbox, because it will keep a sort of local version.
It's interesting. I don't have problems with search with Sparrow, but I'm really bad at categorizing or organizing my mail. I just archive everything.
Mm.
But there's still normally sort of 70 items in my inbox at any one time. I don't really keep.
I don't know how you can do that. That would just drive me up the wall.
What, are you a two items or less man?
No, not as a rule, but I generally try, and I probably spend too long on email every day. Mm. I need to still, after all these years, get better at it. But it turned 9 on April 1st. We all thought it was a joke when it came out, but it wasn't. And
when did you sign up? Do you remember?
I probably like 2005, 2000.
Yeah, it was 2004. I remember it launching and I think everything.
I remember getting an invite. It was, you had to wait, and
You did.
It kind of dropped in the inbox. And like,
because people could invite each other, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It was like, give me an invite. Show me your email, and I'll send you an invite. And, not quite the same. But 9 years old. I wonder what they're going to do for.
Let's hope they don't mothball that.
Well, indeed, I don't think they can. I don't think they can. But so those were my two.
Okay.
A bit of a milestone in terms of Gmail, and Destroy Today's lessons learnt in a year on his own. Mm-hmm. What have you got this week?
Starting off with timejump.js.
Bit of JavaScript, bit of front end.
Bit of JS, bit of front end. Not really my cup of tea, but thought it was quite useful. Dave Rupert, is it?
Yes.
From Paraval, is that how you...
One third of the All-Star Texan team.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
He's come out with a piece of JS that is actually quite useful.
Of JS, I love it.
If you know cheeky piece of JS.
Yeah. 1.6K minified.
If you know how you deep link on YouTube. Ears a prick up there.
Say that again slowly, so we can all comprehend the enormity of what you just said.
Right. With how you deep link on YouTube.
Ah, yes, deep linking on YouTube, yes.
Where you give it a timestamp and it then positions the video at that point before it plays. He's done the same thing for podcasts, and it's actually really useful. I think you've implemented it, haven't you?
Well, I do confess to installing said bit of cheeky JS on the Back to Front Show website. Yes.
And it is very good. It works really well, doesn't it? Was it Media Elements?
Yeah. Luckily for us, Dave's player of choice is MediaElement.js, and that's
it. Works with others though, doesn't it? He just said that it's particularly, you know, he made sure it worked with that because that was his favourite player.
Exactly. Yeah. So it works really, really well. Genius. Absolutely genius. And
it's really good if you could use it in show notes or anything like that to link, to deep link to certain things.
Yes, it's an interesting one. I thought about doing that for the segments, but then I thought,
nobody would listen to our rubbish in between.
No, and that's the best bit, right?
Of course, yeah.
You know, speaking rubbish. But it is brilliant. I mean, he's done some great stuff, hasn't he? He's the guy behind Fitbits.
Yeah.
And Lettering.js. And,
yeah. I don't know. Was the whole team behind that, or was it just him?
I think he's the kind of scripter. I'm not sure, but I think they're
either way,
brilliant,
great stuff. Yeah,
yeah, really, really good, really good. That's on GitHub, of course. What was your second one? You pinged this link to me earlier.
Yeah, and I'm a bit of a fan of Wired.
Oh, really? What, the magazine?
Yeah,
the UK one.
Yeah,
I used to subscribe.
Did you?
I have stopped.
I mean, I only read the website. I don't buy the magazine.
So typical.
The they actually today, only a few hours ago, they've released a redesign.
So what this technically is news.
This is it's breaking
news. Breaking news.
Providing, of course, that we actually, you know, upload this today.
Mm.
Yeah, so this is Wired UK's new website. And what really struck me about it was, first of all, how clean it looks. But then when I when you actually go into the article page itself, I have a real problem. I almost can't read any websites anymore with... you know, natively within the site.
Okay.
I have to take articles out into something else to read, so there's no junk around it, you know.
Right.
Okay. And their site is pretty much as close to those environments, you know, reader or whatever, as you can possibly get. It's super clean, really nice to read, and responsive and adaptive. And I just thought I was really impressed by how they executed it.
Okay, yeah, I'm just having a look at it now.
As you know, I'm no designer, but in terms of someone who likes to read stuff online, it's a nice reading experience.
Don't keep, you know, dismissing your own design skills, Kieran. No, it's really nice. Very, yeah, I mean, it does. I'm just doing that old designer trick there, resizing the browser.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I think you can see that they really... maybe optimize is the wrong word. Not, I don't mean it in the sense of the tech, but the reading experience very much lends itself to a tablet size when you resize a browser. I almost feel it's in its element, if you will, when you've resized it maybe down sort of a few hundred pixels wide.
Yeah.
As you get wider, it's still very easy to read. But
do the ads disappear? The ads disappear? Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, the leaderboards and the MPUs disappear. Oh, the MPU's still there on the tablet.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Very. I wonder if we'll see a trend towards that, where it's almost like the desktop experience is sort of the little brother in many ways, and the mobile and tablet.
Yeah.
Sort of styles are the most attractive, most easy mm-hmm. to read. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that is certainly the way a lot of these sites are going. I think they do have problems with advertising, as we were just saying about, you know, where's the ad going to go and things.
Mm.
But, you know, I know that some of them are going, well, let's not worry about that at certain sizes, you know. But as their mobile traffic increases, that becomes a problem for them.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it, the mobile advertising sort of conundrum. I know there's some interesting stuff going on. There's some interesting, you know, concepts around that, but fundamentally, mm-hmm. it's click-throughs, isn't it? And we need to make them a way that they're attractive, enticing, but also feel part of the whole experience, as opposed to just kind of added in.
Yeah.
It's very
attractive for the sake of it.
Yeah, yeah. What's this? O2 customers get free London Underground internet. Let's say
breaking news.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? I'm not sure. I like the idea of that. Do you like the idea of... I know you're not a big fan of the Underground anyway, but would you want internet access? I think everyone's sort of, you know, sat there... That would be quite weird, wouldn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's sort of part of the etiquette on the Underground, isn't it? You know, nobody has internet access down there, and it's sort of... I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But yes, definitely check that out. That's wired.co.uk. Has the American site changed? Or
I don't think so. No, I think it was announced as a UK redesign. I'm just going to the Wired US site.
I'm never quite sure how hand in glove those,
different.
You know, the titles are when you've got the same title in, you know, the States and the UK. I remember when the Wired UK came out, it was maybe one or two articles a month that were in the original, you know, the American sort of sister magazine. But then they definitely went down their own route.
Their own path. I know that they are often a licensed properties anyway.
Right. Okay.
I don't know if it's the case with Wired, but I know that there's a couple. I think Gizmodo is definitely licensed. So they license them to UK based publishers and that kind of thing.
Oh, interesting.
And,
yeah, it's Condé Nast. Interesting. Yeah, this Wired.com. Yeah, it's kind of a similar aesthetic. You can see that they're related.
Mm-hmm.
What's this? Foursquare's latest funding raises valuation questions. Mixed in with Slave to the grind, 7 coffee grinders tested and rated. I know which one I'll be clicking later.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. Yeah, no, that's very nice. Very nice. It'll be interesting to see how that takes off and whether they write about it. But yeah, so on to our main discussion point then, really. And you got a sneak cheeky invite to editorially.
I did,
recently,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah,
most jealous.
There's nothing dodgy going on. It was just literally came through in the inbox and I signed up.
Nothing dodgy.
No, yeah, okay. I swear.
But this is the, I'm hesitant to call it a startup project. I guess it's a startup. I'm not sure if they've got any.
How they defined themselves, really. No, I don't.
Any funding?
What is a startup, Keir? Shall we go about that?
No, let's not. Yeah, we're all entrepreneurs, let's face it. But editorially, available, was it geteditorially.com?
No, just editorially.com.
Editorially.com, okay. And how would you describe it?
It's a writing environment.
Okay.
How I describe it.
Are you holding up your fingers and doing the little rabbit ears there? Or?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's very minimal and it's all markdown based. So if you're familiar with that, you can write really quickly and it's distraction free. I mean, not in the sense that it goes full screen or anything, but there's, you know, you have a plain, you know, white screen in front of you and you get to type. It's very well designed, obviously. And there are lots of collaborative features.
Okay.
Surrounding it.
So, just some of the people behind it are names we all know and love. Ethan Marcotte's involved, Mandy Brown. She's obviously one of the original founders of Book Apart.
Yep.
JSM himself, Mr. Santa Maria, he's involved, yep. Isn't he? It sounds awful to say, and a couple of others. It's just that I can't remember them off the top of my head.
No, I can't.
Forgive me.
Those were the big names that I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah. And I think they've been working on this for sort of a while now, haven't they? But it looks really interesting. So what problem is it solving, in your opinion?
Well, I think that there's a couple of things. One is that I use Google Docs, or whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
And it's not a particularly nice experience, in my opinion. It's actually not very reliable anymore either.
No,
I find I'm getting kicked out of the thing, or you know, it's giving me bad gateway or whatever all the time.
I get bad gateway. I like it
a lot.
Stop giving me bad gateway. Yeah,
and it's and the other piece of the puzzle is that if you're working on a document with someone else, I think in some ways editorially deals with it in a nicer way. Like, I don't necessarily want to sit there and write with you if I'm writing.
Right.
You know, I don't necessarily want to see you typing on the screen and us fight over a correction of a sentence or something. You know, I like the idea of, you know, me doing a pass on a document and writing you a note about what I've changed and what's different. And it provides this really nice timeline with a sort of bubble effect where the bigger the amount of changes, the bigger the dot.
Oh, okay.
So it sort of has this bubble where you can see, you know, how the document's progressed as it's gone along, and you can jump back to bigger revisions and things and see what was changed.
Right.
And then you've got this sort of this. I guess it's sort of Twitter-style timeline of activity surrounding the document. So a document was created, and then you can post a comment about the document, and then that's sort of interspersed in that timeline.
Okay.
And so it, for me, if I was working on a document with someone, this is how I would prefer to work, because I feel like it's more like a traditional editorial process as opposed to, you know, how many people who are writing a document sit there with their editor connected at the same time and have their editor change stuff as they're working. I don't think that really happens. Or at least not in my experience.
No, absolutely.
And so I think this is sort of a more, as the name suggests, editorially focused tool.
Yes. I've got the other names now while you've been talking. I have been listening, I promise. David Yee and Rob Brackett. So there's it's a five-person team spread between Boston, Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and San Francisco. Yes, it is a lovely piece of work, and again, whenever you know these people are working on these projects, and you kind of think, okay, how are they going to make money from this? It's obviously a lovely tool, so you start thinking they must have a bunch of pro features up their sleeves. Do you think, or
Yeah, I'd have thought so. I don't know whether that's going. There doesn't seem to be any restriction on documents. I was sort of poking around. I mean, I've only got, let me see, I've only got about 15 documents listed here of mine at the moment.
Just the 15.
Well, but you know, I imagine this has the potential to be used by editorial teams with hundreds of, if not thousands of documents.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there's some sort of pro feature where they'll say, you know, you get a lifting of the restriction of that, or whether, you know, there are yet more features to come that they will say, you know, you have to pay for. But it is our invite only at the moment, and it seems that every person that signs up gets three invites,
That's nice, yeah.
which I think. Is sort of is almost a requirement of the system because, you know, that you can't collaborate without the people you work with.
Yeah, exactly. It's be interesting to see where they take it and how long it stays in beta and stuff like that. Because I think it's very usable. I'm obviously the, I guess there'll be scaling issues and that. But can you do anything with images? Is there any, or is it
No,
literally it's just all focused around the
it's all
text?
focused on text. I've not seen anything. Image based in here. Let me just see if I go and edit a document. This little cheat sheet that comes up, which is effectively just, it's effectively just, you know, markdown. You know
Right, yeah.
what you can and can't do. No, there doesn't seem to be anything about images here.
Interesting. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's I'm a big fan of very sort of simple, clean writing environments. I use I always get the wrong way around. Is it AI Writer or IA? AI Writer
Writer, yeah.
again, which is Markdown based, and yeah, it's not difficult to learn at all. Markdown, it's just it's quite
No,
simple.
and it's super intuitive and fast once you start doing it,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. And it, you know, it's just very, very easy. You just there's no distractions. There's no sort of. I guess we've all suffered in the past from sort of editing things in, say, WordPress. I mean, they've done a huge amount of work now in
Of
terms
course, I
of
have, yeah.
you know the locking problem and that kind of stuff, and knowing when other person's editing. But yeah, this is really nice. I noticed that you were engaging in some Twitter banter about export. That currently, what can you export as?
Yeah, so this is one of the things that one of the few things that frustrated me. But well, there's two things: imports and exports, which I, you know, I presume is just it's a matter of time, and that may be where pro features start to come in. So one thing I'd like to be able to do is I'd like to just be able to go grab all my Google Docs and bring them over to editorially, please. You know, that sort of import feature.
Right, yeah. That
That'd
would
be
be
really
lovely, wouldn't
useful.
it?
But beyond that, the export currently is limited to HTML and Markdown. And obviously, that's a little bit frustrating to then have to take that into something else and save it out as a Word doc or a PDF or whatever your
Yeah.
person not using editorially wants the document in.
Sure. Yes. So, yeah, that's an interesting one, actually, isn't it? Because what would you want to do? So, I wouldn't say it's a competitor. It's a different tool, which I found a link to. I forget where now. Credit where it's due, but I can't remember. Apologies. Called Draft. It's called Draft, basically, but the URL is draftin.com. So draftin.com.
Drafting. Yeah.
And I guess it's a similar ethos. You can collaborate on documents. You can share. You can edit. Again, I think it uses kind of Markdown-esque. You know. What would you call that syntax?
Yeah,
But
I think it's all marked down, yeah.
this does have import and export features, which is really, really interesting. So you can go to your Google Drive and bring in a document. You can upload an image, and it will go effectively ends up in S3, and it's referenced in your document, so it's there in line. I'm looking at it now, and you can export. And but one of the genius features here, which I'm really quite keen to try out, and I've have actually connected it, is you can link it into your hosted WordPress blog or your Tumblr.
Yeah, that's
So
really nice, isn't it?
not just a WordPress.com, but say you know your self-hosted
Yeah.
WordPress. I guess it uses the RPC stuff or whatever to connect. But
Yeah.
so I literally went in publish, and it gave me all my categories and that kind of stuff, and then I could have hit the publish button, and it would have gone straight into my blog. So it's a really nice, clean environment. Editing environment that then allows me just to push that off to my blog. So I'm guessing
Yeah.
that editorially will follow suit.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. And I believe their export features are also still limited to Markdown and HTML. But you can, but obviously you can push it back to Google Drive and then save it out as a doc.
Which one's this? Editorially or
No, draft.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so draft is export as markdown or export as HTML. But you can export, the nice thing is you can export it to cloud, what they call cloud services here, which I'm not sure that's the right word, but Evernote, Dropbox, and Google Drive, which then syncs back to them. So then you could, if you wanted to get it as a PDF or whatever, you could go back to Google Drive and export it.
Nice. Yeah, it's interesting,
and
isn't it?
You can. I was going to say it's not as collaborative as Editorially, but to give it credit, it does have notes in the same way as Editorially does.
Right. Okay.
So you know you can leave notes within the document. It's done a little bit differently, but it achieves the same effect, I guess.
Yeah. It's really nice, isn't it? Gives you like a word count and that kind of stuff. And
yeah, I mean, it's sort of. I find it really interesting that this sort of 37 signals approach of giving people the bare minimum is working in spaces, you know, like the word, what would traditionally be taken up with Word, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And whereas they did it for Microsoft Project, these guys are doing it for Word.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? The signals, and I find that, Basecamp, I mean, I've been using Basecamp recently, and it's changed so much. Yeah, that's probably coming up to its 10th birthday, which is hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, I saw him interviewed, Jason Calacanis. I think you sent it to me actually.
Oh yeah. DHH,
he was saying that he thinks that only Salesforce were there before them doing subscription based software.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I think that's what they were saying. They were saying that they are pretty much second to market in terms of subscription-based software.
Wow.
Which these days is a no-brainer. You know, everyone and their mum's doing it. But
is your mum doing it?
No, just iPhone apps.
Okay. Yeah, I knew she got an iPad one out there, but I didn't know it was... Interesting. But do you think it solves the problem, though, of like... collaborating online? I mean, we both worked for Smashing Magazine, and they obviously runs on WordPress, and we'd have a sort of system where a draft would come in. It would often come in say a text file or a doc or a Google Drive, and we'd back that back and forwards with email and for sort of corrections and or comment and that kind of stuff, and it would eventually end up, even though we encouraged everyone to log in and
use WordPress.
It would eventually end up in there. But it was very messy. But I noticed recently as well, you can there's some workflow tools for WordPress now. I think there's a plugin that we talked about maybe on the second show. I think is it called Workflow or something?
I think it is called Workflow. Yeah.
That allows you to have this kind of collaborative approach to articles for a WordPress blog. Again, it felt quite overbearing in many ways. There's a lot going on there. What do you think of the space at the moment? Do you think things like Editorially and Draft will solve these problems, or are they kind of just the sort of stage one whereby you get it into a state and then push it somewhere else for the final bit?
Yeah, I think the problem is that, I mean, obviously, you know, I've worked with a lot of publishers as well, and, you know, all teams, publishing teams tend to work differently. And one of the problems that software has is that it tends to have to be quite didactic about how it, you know, about the workflow itself. So it tends to say, this is how you work, which is a problem for most teams because they already have a workflow before they got to this point.
Right.
I guess new teams can say, well, you know, we're setting up a new website about whatever, and we're going to use the workflow plugin, and we're going to stick to the prescribed workflow because that, you know, it systematizes everything, and that's great. But if you're, I don't know, maybe you've come from a magazine, or maybe you're just a team that have been working outside WordPress or outside whatever CMS you've just started using, unless you write something yourself, you know, it starts to become quite difficult.
Yeah, it's actually called Editflow is the WordPress one.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, my instinct is that the reason I liked Editorially so much was because it meshes well with how I would like to work, you know, how I have worked with people working on documents, but it just does it all in one place. Whether people start as a rule working in these environments and then pushing it off to WordPress or whatever publishing platform you're using, I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm it'd be interesting to work out how that would scale, you know?
Yes, I think I do like the idea of having these kind of very simple editing environments. You know, it really does. I mean, it works for how my simple brain works. Very, you know, clean, very easy. You know, I've got a big monitor and I've just got focusing on the words, very few distractions. I think that's, you know, it really works. I've never been one to get with a sort of full screen WordPress editor. I don't know why. There's something about it I've never particularly taken to. But these, like a writer or editorial draft, they're very, very simple. And they kind of just work. Yeah, I wonder, it's the next stage, isn't it? Once you've got these into this, you know, finished format. I mean, when we did Insights to the Book, we tended to have a mixture of, you know, we'd get back, say, the transcripts from our transcriber in a .doc. We then sort of upload that into Google Docs and change that, and we ping it back and forth with the people that we were interviewing for corrections on names and so forth, and they would log in and leave comments, and then we had to export it back out into you know, Illustrator and all these kind of things. So it is a very clunky process if you've ever done anything that ultimately ends up in print, for example. It is a clunky process. So hopefully things like this will start to ease that, and the export or, you know, functionality will enable us to sort of, you know, publish to, say, Tumblr or WordPress or you know, flat HTML or whatever.
Yeah, another issue that springs to mind is with lots of these cloud services, and that, whenever someone talks to me about this, I'm always trying to be sort of like, oh, I don't worry about, you know, what happens if the cloud provider loses your data and all that sort of stuff. But recently, I followed quite a lot of academics on Twitter, and one of them tweeted out, you know, something like, "Come on, Google, no support on Google Docs, you know, WTF, one of my students can't get her thesis and she needs to submit it."
That's
basically
serious.
Yeah, exactly. She'd written a blog post about it, and effectively what had happened had seemed to be is that she got Capture come up when she tried to log in, and obviously got it wrong a number of times because she couldn't read the Capture properly. And they'd locked her account. And then because she's got a free account, there's no support. So you have to wait for Google Community something or others, you know, where Google gives a certain amount of status to volunteers, effectively, I think, to help people out on the Google Apps world. In the Google Apps world. And so this person's sitting there waiting for her thesis to become unlocked until she could submit it. And I thought to myself, actually, there's a, I mean, and I do have Pro, I have Google Apps for Business, but so I would have support. But I thought to myself, you know, with things like Editora and all these things, if they do come out with a paid model, I will pay, because the stuff in there is what I run my business on.
Yeah, I think I mean, that's,
I need access.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there's a whole other conversation about the notion of, you know, expecting things for free online.
Yeah.
And you know, the value of paying something, to, however small, it just enables the service to continue. Hopefully, not always, as we've seen. Yeah. But you know, you're adding value. You're basically attaching a value to the service, which. And in return for that, you expect certain things back, such as, you know, help, support, uptime, and so forth. But I'm really interested to see where these are going. I was very surprised to sort of find something very similar in draft. You know, this week as well, while we're sort of researching this. They've got some interesting. One interesting feature worth mentioning is in draft where you can get help with copy editing. So you can there's a service, there's a service where it's 100% guarantee. If you don't like the results, you'll be refunded immediately. But we have a college-educated staff under a strict NDA who can help edit your document.
Oh, is this Ask a Pro?
Yeah, so we'll notify you when the edits are ready for your review. You can accept or ignore any of the changes within draft. Send to a professional editor for review. 15 minutes is $5, 45 minutes is $10. I mean, that's...
Wow.
I mean, you would want to... Personally, I would want a little bit more... I guess, background to the editor, and maybe a way of saying, okay, this is what I'm trying to achieve, because, and this is why it's written in this way, because maybe it's a house style or you're trying to express a certain tone, so that they could read within the caveats that you set them.
Yeah.
But
And also, I hate to say it, but you know, as someone who has worked in academic institutions, this will put the fear of God into academics in terms of, you know, has my student had their essay professionally edited for $5? You know.
That's a really good point. That's a good point. Go and tell all your students about this. But I thought that was quite interesting. So again, it's a useful tool, but it's also interacting with the human element. Let's hope they just don't push it out to Mechanical Turk. That'd be quite interesting. But editorially, very talented team behind that, and I'm really, really interested to see how that's going to progress and work its way through.
Do you say Draft was one man band?
Well, I think so. As far as I can ascertain, there's very little documentation in terms of who's behind it and stuff.
Hang on, I think I need to log out to see the about section. Some guy called Nate. Yeah.
There you go. Ninjasandrobots.com. Why do I know that?
I know that as well.
Okay.
Founder of two Y Combinator companies.
Oh, very good.
Inkling and City Posh.
Was a software engineer for President Obama's re-election campaign.
There
were some really interesting articles
about
the tech team. There was a whole bunch of people from Twitter who, I forget the name of the sort of lead guy, who's very, very, I'll use the word cool. He had very good hair and beard and tattoos.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Probably got a fixed gear, but I'm saying nothing. but yeah, there's a really interesting article. I think it was in maybe a Vanity Fair thing or maybe New York Times. Brilliant. If you can find it, definitely read it. It's long, but it's...
Yeah.
And there's actually, I think it's on YouTube somewhere, a video interview with some of the team as well.
Oh, like a Q&A. I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, they talk about the tech and everything. And it's brilliant, brilliant. Very, very clever.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely check those out if you can get an invite to Editorially. That's editorially.com. Mm-hmm. And Draft is similar but different. Draftin.com as well.
So and I think it's just open, isn't it? I just signed up.
Yeah, Draft, you can just try. So
cool.
Definitely give it a go. To the end of the show we go. And finally, what do you have for us this week, Kieran? You're on a roll. I couldn't come up with anything to better this.
We have Giphy.com.
You sure it's not Jiffy? Are you a GIF or a GIF man?
I'm a GIF man.
You are? Through and through? Well,
isn't GIF something you clean your toilet with?
Well, is that a universal product?
I doubt it.
Is it? Maybe it's only... hold on. I've just hovered on Don Draper himself, and he's giving me a cheeky wink.
So,
yes, so what Giphy. Is Giphy, com. Giphy got? Giphy.com.
Giphy.com is Giphy.com.
Yes.
And it is a GIF search engine.
This is genius.
It is. It's what you've all been waiting for. And you can search for any terms. So you can put in funny and it'll come up with endless. Well, in fact, 5,958 animated GIFs for funny.
Really? There's only one Mad Men GIF.
Is that it?
It's not probably very good.
Cats.
No, I'm not going to put... Oh, hold on. Mad Spacemen. There's plenty. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Oh, a cat with specs on. You see, this is the sort of thing that people want in their lives.
Yeah. This is... Right, okay. And then you've got an embed code.
Yeah.
Not only can you search, you can then go right ahead and embed this.
You see, what I want to know is, can you then go Max GIF with them?
Max GIF? Who's he?
Oh, come on. You don't know Max GIF?
Who's Max GIF?
MaxGIF.com.
Right, what's that?
Go there. Put in any GIF, and then it puts it full screen.
It's telling me to press spacebar. Okay. I think I've just got...
It's got endless.
Justin Bieber has filled my screen. No, it's maybe not Justin Bieber. I'm not sure.
So there's a little plus sign there. You can just hit the plus sign, stick in anything, and it goes full screen.
Okay, enter link.
So that's two for you, two GIF-related finders.
I am going to try Max GIF. Enter link to GIF. Go. Kaboom. It's thinking. No, it's flashing red. Doesn't work.
So you can't go from Giphy.com to MaxGIF. Well,
hold on. I know what we're going to do here. I know. I think. Right. I found the original. I've got the link.
I've done. Paste the original link.
I've done an inspector on it. And oh yes, there we go.
You got the full screen, have you?
Yeah, I've got Roger Sterling and Jane. He's got a little martini there. Looks quite dirty. Two olives.
Nice.
And a nice suit. Yeah,
I always type in movies, and there's always good gifts for that.
Does it? It gives good gift. Does it? Movies.
That's good gift.
Let's have a look. Movies. 609 gifs.
Not that many.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I think this. I'm not quite. I'm actually. If I was to rule, I still think Pack Love beats this.
Oh, I think it definitely does. Yeah.
It's a close second. What about dogs? Do we have any dog related gifs?
It tends to be less dog related gifs than cat related. Yeah. Look at that. There's only 699 dog related gifs.
Well, if you do dogs with an S plural, 1,158.
Really?
That's the secret, you see. Yeah.
See, I got Reservoir Dogs when I did that.
True. That is there. Yeah. Oh,
so anyway, yeah. Check out Giphy.
Giphyjiffy.com. Who's behind this? Is it a startup? Have they got funding? Oh, you can get a weekly digest. I like it.
Oh, there's Jaws licking an ice cream cone.
This is too much. This will be carried on after the record button has been hit for stop. Just a heaping helping of fine gifts every week into your inbox. Love it. Right, brilliant. On that note, we've reached 51 minutes. Can you believe it?
Blimey.
No boy races this week either.
Well, there was a guy on sort of a chicken chaser outside, but he...
Sorry, back up there.
A chicken chaser.
Well, a chicken chaser?
Yeah, a 50cc motorbike.
Oh, you mean like, okay, the hairdryer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's quite normal. There's none of the big blown exhausts.
No, there's no one in a low slung Vauxhall Astra.
Yeah, classic. Well, we should do that one day. Those cars from my youth, Vauxhall Astra is brilliant.
There you go.
Anyway, we will attend. Well, we won't be next week. When are you back from New York?
Week after.
No, we have to give us your roundup of the Tribeca Film Festival.
I will do.
From a technical back end and front end perspective, naturally.
Obviously.
Yes, good reports on coffee, etc.
Yep.
In the welcome section for episode 8. Yes. But as always, thank you for listening. If you've made it this far, then pat yourself on the back and go and find a GIF. And thanks for listening. We'll be back very soon. Cheers.